Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of the Playoff Push podcast. This is episode 6 of the regular weekly Wednesday mornings, and we had episode 1 of NFL recap yesterday. Go check that out after this one if you haven't, to get topics from every game of week 1 of the NFL season, as well as fantasy performances. It was a great episode. I'm excited to continue those on Tuesday mornings throughout the rest of the NFL season. In this episode, we'll be touching on MLB, mainly the playoff teams, as well as the awards later on. Some people might not be as tuned into MLB as they want to be and aren't so tuned in on the standings. So that's what I want to do here today, maybe educate people on the standings, see who's in, who's taken a big fall off, cough, cough, Texas, and just give a better idea of what you can expect from these teams heading into the postseason, who can win it all. First off, I really want to say thank you, everyone, for the support. I really appreciate it. We hit 300 total streams for the podcasts today. Well, yesterday, if you're listening to this the day it releases. But I'm just so grateful for all the support we've gotten on this show. Just continue to share it, and I want to continue getting it out there for broader and broader audiences every episode. Just spread my message of sports to as many people as I possibly can in my own way, which is just talking into a microphone in my room. But I really appreciate all the support so far, and I just needed to say that before we start getting to MLB, which we will do right now. We are in the home stretch of the MLB season, about 3 weeks left to play. Each division has a leader, and will they hold that crown? We'll figure out soon enough. We will be starting out with the American League East today. See how those teams are doing, starting off with my New York Yankees sitting at 83-61. That's a 57.6 win percentage. Doing pretty well at home and even better away. 38-31 at home, 45-30 on the road. The Yankees are a very good team. The only problem is they're inconsistent, very inconsistent. Whereas Baltimore is only 1.5 games back, and I see them as a more consistent team in the long run. They have more star power throughout the lineup as contrary to, you know, two guys in the head of the lineup. And I just see the Orioles going farther. And that's as low bias as I can have, purely because I've watched Alex Verdugo ground out to second base maybe a million times this year, and if he does it one more time, I might rip my head off. So I just don't see the Yankees making a push that far. I could see them maybe winning their first playoff series, but I can't see the Yankees going any further than that, whereas I could see Baltimore taking the American League nomination to the World Series. We'll touch on my actual predictions later. But I would say Baltimore will end up winning this division despite being 1.5 games back of New York for now. Boston's in the push for a wild card spot, not currently in. I think 3 games back of Minnesota for the third slot, which is definitely doable, but I wouldn't be willing to bank on it. Rays and Blue Jays both will probably not happen. They're 12-15.5 games back, respectfully. I just don't see the talent being enough to get them across the hump. That is quite a few games to get into one of those wild card slots. So the American League East, you're looking at the Yankees and Orioles both making it. One as the division winner and one as probably the top wild card seed. Boston could slide into the 3, even though it's unlikely it could happen, so don't rule it out. Now we move on to the AL Central. Cleveland currently holding onto the division, 82-62 record for a 56.9 win percentage. They are absolutely dominant at home, but the crazy thing is they are mediocre away. They're 43-25 at home, which is 18 games over 500, whereas away they're only 39-37, which is 2 games over the median line. So this Cleveland team is very strong. We knew that coming into the year, but we did not expect it to be like this once Shane Bieber went down. Of course, the AL Cy Young during the 2020 season going down pretty early into the year is not great. But when you have guys like Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez on your team putting up incredible numbers, same with Andres Jimenez, and they've had a really surprise performance from David Fry coming up out of nowhere, holding an 806 OPS to this point. Ramirez with an 844, Jimenez playing great defense, and Kwan did have a high batting average for a while, has 3.2 WAR despite his batting average kind of crashing. But this Cleveland team can hit really, really hard. Their pitching is not as strong. It's not bad necessarily. They have the best closer in the league in Emmanuel Clase. So if they have a one or two run lead in the ninth, you might as well hang up the cleats. But their starting pitching has been constantly banged up and really just hasn't been that great overall. So in the postseason, I think that could be their demise, and I do not think they will make it that far purely due to the starting pitching issue. I think the team that'll make it the furthest from the American League Central is the Kansas City Royals, currently 3.5 games back of Cleveland. But they've surprised everybody so far this year. Bobby Witt Jr., if Aaron Judge didn't exist, would be the easy MVP. It wouldn't even be close. He would be the MVP in the NL right now. He's having a ridiculous year, a true five-tool talent, putting his stats up on the path if Judge wasn't chasing a record yet again. But Bobby Witt this year, 9 WAR, a .335 batting average, 30 homers, and an OPS of 988 and an OPS plus of 172, where 100 is league average. He's slowly becoming, not slowly, fastly becoming the prospect we all knew he was going to be. He was one of the most esteemed prospects of the last decade coming up through the Kansas City system and got called up. Took him a couple of years, but now here he is, an MVP front runner. And still has a chance to win despite Judge. I'm just a Yankee fan and I'm biased and love Aaron Judge, and I think he wins it again just because he still got robbed in 2017. But the Royals are a very good team. They have a very good pitching staff. Seth Lugo, who everyone said was washed, came in and is pitching with ridiculous numbers, have a very solid bullpen, and just have enough hitters to, keep the world spinning. So the Royals, I think, will come back and potentially even dethrone Cleveland in the regular season, although I really see them being more dominant in the postseason as they make that final playoff push. Another surprising guy has been Salvador Perez, still putting up incredible numbers despite getting up there in the age margins. And the pitching has just overall been great. Seth Lugo, 3.05 ERA, Cole Reagans, 3.33, Brady Singer, 3.42, Michael Wacha, 3.34, and Alec Marsh at a 4.66. So the Royals have been playing out of their minds overall, and I think they'll continue to do that. If their outfield bats get a bit stronger, I could see them going to the ALCS to face the Baltimore Orioles later on in the season. Twins currently holding down the third wild card spot. Will they keep it? Will they surrender it? I really don't know. I think they will end up surrendering it to Boston just because I just don't think their lineup has enough firepower. They have Correa and they have Byron Buxton. And other than that, no one's really been playing too amazingly. So I think they will end up falling off. And I think Detroit, who's only 2.5 games back of Minnesota, could also make a push. Tarik Skubal, of course, the Cy Young front runner for the American League. And despite Javier Baez being quite literally a fire for cash, they are still playing above 500 baseball, and I think could continue to win games with this lineup, who many people thought was not going to be anything entering the year. Riley Green's having a career year so far, 828 OPS and a 131 OPS plus. Again, the strong rotation. This team could make it very far in the playoffs. It's just, will they put it all together right before the postseason hits in early October? The White Sox are out. We know this. 49.5 games back, on pace to be the worst team ever. We don't even need to discuss it. Then we get to the American League West, which is really weird because we came into this season thinking this was going to be one of the stronger divisions in baseball. You got the Houston Astros, who have been a wrecking crew for the last decade. You got the Rangers, the defending champs. Then you have like the Oakland A's and the Angels, who we knew were going to be bad. Actually, the A's are doing better than I originally expected. The Astros are still leading the division. They're 11 games over 500. They're playing very well at home and are 500 away. They have the power bats. They have the pretty solid rotation. You know how it is with Houston. They can hit bombs. They can hold themselves in games with pitching. And that's really all it is to it. Seattle, on the other hand, is 4.5 games back. And they are pitching incredibly. Probably the second best rotation in the league, I'd say, behind Philadelphia. All their starters that are qualified have an ERA below 4, which is very impressive. The issue is, when it comes to anything except homers, they could not hit water if they fell out of a boat. And that's being nice. They have an awful statistic when you look at it in terms of batting average as a team. It's not great. Look it up. It's awful. Then you've Texas, somehow third in the division, 7.5 games back, despite being the defending champs. Everyone thought they could run it back. Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. Everyone was looking at this lineup and thinking, this is absolutely loaded. There is no way they can't run back a playoff spot. And now they are very much struggling. Nobody's doing quite what they expected in terms of ceiling. It's quite literally been floor for everybody. Seager still has 30 bombs, Adolis with 22, Semien with 19. But just looking at their OPSs, it's not the most impressive thing we've ever seen from a World Series champion defending team. That's probably a better way to phrase it. But Seager has an 865, but then second's Josh Smith with a 765. So not overall great. Semien's down to 695, Adolis at a 669. This Rangers offense can hit for power, but they need to do it consistently if they want to make a deep run. Their pitching is pretty strong. Andrew Heaney has made the comeback of the decade this year, holding my Yankees down when he is quite literally a Yankees legend in his own right, just based on how awful he was with us. But Nathan Eovaldi with a 3.55 ERA, Heaney with a 3.84. So not awful there. Their bullpen's kind of been rough. But I think Texas could easily make a run to try to get into the third wildcard spot. Will they succeed? Probably not, just based on the hole they've dug themselves in. But I think if you were to give Texas a chance to run the season back, they would do so much better. The Angels are overall awful, sitting in the five slot at a 60-84 record. Don't really want to talk about them too much. They're not good. Oakland A's, however, have had some young stars come up with the firepower. You got Brent Rooker, you got Lawrence Butler, you got Zach Yelof. Has came up from last year and really put his name on the map. And you also got Shea Langeliers behind the plate holding his own there. Brent Rooker currently sitting at 35 homers, Langeliers at 25, Butler at 21, including 2 3-homer games, Bleday at 20, and Yelof at 17. This A's team can slug, but again, they just do not have the pitching to do literally anything. They only have one qualified pitcher, and it's former Yankee legend J.P. Sears at a 4.23. If that says anything, you can tell they don't have pitchers who can stay around and put good numbers up, especially after trading Paul Blackburn, who was maybe their only good pitcher over the last 3 years, over to the Mets at the deadline. So that's your look into the American League. If I were to do my own rankings of how I believe the season will end, I believe Baltimore gets the one seed and wins the American League East. Kansas City wins the AL Central, second seed, and Houston will win the AL West and get the third seed. Yankees slide into the four after getting second place in the American League East. Cleveland slides into the five, and the sixth slot's a toss-up between Minnesota, Detroit, and Boston. We will see how it goes. But I think any of those teams has just a fair shot as any of the others. Minnesota currently in the lead by 2.5 games, but they are 3-7 in their last 10, so they are losing ground. But that's what I believe the AL would look like. The NL is much less competitive, and you don't even need me to know that. Phillies running away with the NL East. Brewers running away with the NL Central. Dodgers have a pretty good lead in the NL West. You got three division leaders right there. I think Dodgers take the one, Phillies take the two, Brewers take the three. That's that. But when you look beyond that, I think you see the Padres in the four, Diamondbacks in the five, and either Mets or Braves in the six. Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers, all great teams. Phillies have a very strong rotation, very strong lineup. Bullpen's a bit shaky at times, but I think they will probably be in the NLCS against the Dodgers. Dodgers, again, great. They have Ohtani. They have Freddie Freeman. They have all these guys who can hit absolute nukes, hit for average, a really good rotation, and a pretty solid bullpen. They are overall a super team. They are the 2017 Warriors, despite the fact they're not playing like it. But this is a team that can put up numbers and will do so, especially in the playoffs, because they've actually been gaining since their World Series title in 2020, despite the league getting more difficult around them. Then in the four, I think it's the Padres. If the Dodgers didn't exist, they would have a good shot to win the NL West. I mean, the Diamondbacks have had a resurgence recently. Giants and Rockies are not good. Let's just keep it a buck. But the Padres are a very strong team. Michael King throwing in a great year. Dylan Cease throwing in a great year. And the Padres offense is going to do what the Padres offense does. Only one game ahead of the Diamondbacks as of now, though. So it could easily change any moment. But you got Machado and you got Jackson Merrill, who has a really great shot to win National League Rookie of the Year in this lineup, putting in significant effort, 23 homers to this point, and has the second best qualified OPS on the team at an 821, only behind Jurickson Profar at an 835. So I do think the Padres will hold down the four and the Diamondbacks will finish slightly behind in the five. But this is a team that can hit, this is a team that can pitch, and this is a team that can close. So the Padres, if the Dodgers and Padres face off in the DS, I would not even rule the Padres out. I think they have a chance to be the Dodgers in a series or even Philadelphia. This Padres team, of course, has not been dominant this year, but you can never rule this team out. They have so many strong suits across the board. This could be a team that surprises everyone when it comes to October. And then we have the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kind of a slow start to begin the year, but have really been coming back. Corbin Carroll's finally starting to hit again, getting out of the sophomore slump. This Diamondbacks team is just a, like, if you consider 50% to be mediocre, they've been a consistent 60% this whole year. Ketel Marte having the career year that we've been waiting for him to have. Putting up great numbers, a 918 OPS as of now. Christian Walker behind him at an 806. But Ketel Marte is holding down this offense while Corbin Carroll gets his numbers back up. Pretty solid rotation despite some struggles again early on in the year. The Diamondbacks did not like the beginning of this year at all. It was really, really rough on them. But I think they do hold down the five slot. I think they're good enough to do it. And the six slot will come down to either, to me, it's either the Mets or the Braves, and that's what it is. They're one game separated. Mets are ahead. Mets have had a Linsanity run. They're 9-1 in their last 10, and they've just been going ridiculous ever since Jose Iglesias dropped, oh my God, onto the charts. I think the Mets do end up holding it out. The Braves just have a few injuries that I think will really end up taxing them. But that's the National League. If I were to guess, I think either Phillies or Dodgers take the one, the other takes the two. Then the Brewers will have the three, Padres in the four, Diamondbacks in the five. And if I were to guess, I would say the Mets in the six. And I think the World Series will end up coming down to Phillies versus Orioles, but it would not surprise me if it ends up being Dodgers Orioles. I think the Orioles have a pretty clear shot in the American League. And either the Phillies or Dodgers, I think they're pretty good comparable teams. Currently have the exact same records at 86 and 58 before either of their games finish. So they are both very good teams that could easily beat one another if ran through three times. Now we'll get to the awards. The American League MVP, very, very close race between Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr., with Juan Soto and Gunnar Henderson slightly behind. I think Judge does hold it out. But Bobby Witt could easily do it. He's been performing super well this year, really surprised everyone. I could easily see Bobby Witt winning it. I'm putting my money on Judge. Maybe it's because I'm a biased Yankee fan. I don't know. I will put my money on my captain. But Bobby Witt Jr., if he wins it, I would not be surprised in the slightest. And I do believe Shohei Ohtani will win the National League MVP, despite believing that Francisco Lindor deserves it more. You can sue me. I don't care. I think Francisco Lindor is the best player in the National League this year. He's just been so underrated during his tenure with the Mets. Sure, he's getting paid a lot of money, but he has not made an all-star team just because of how much he's hated by the fans of MLB. He's always put up great numbers and has always been underrated as a Met. I think Ohtani will win it, but Lindor deserves it. When it comes to Rookie of the Year, American League. Again, I think Austin Wells deserves it. He's came up, taken the Yankees catching job from Jose Trevino and just put up incredible numbers, having multi-homer games left and right, being Gerrit Cole's preferred catcher. I mean, Austin Wells, since he came up, has been a positive force in this Yankees offense. Colton Cowser has kind of fallen off recently. So I think Wells deserves it. And do I think he'll win it? Also, yes. The NL is much closer, though. You got Jackson Merrill, Paul Skenes, and Jackson Churio, all with pretty good odds. If I were to place my bet, I would say Skenes, just because the MLB loves him. But it's really neck and neck between him and Merrill, who I think deserves it. Churio's put up great numbers in the later half of the year, but I really don't think he gets enough love from the MLB media, and because the slow start will hold him back. But I think if Churio was able to hold the pace he's currently on this entire year, he would probably win it over both of them. And my prediction for the World Series, I'm going to assume it is Orioles Phillies, and I will take the Philadelphia Phillies in six as of now. I just think the Phillies are such a great structured team, and if they can get the bullpen to really solidify itself, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with Bryce Harper leading that offense, with Trey Turner right behind, and Alec Bohm, the doubles machine, sitting in the third best hitter on the team slot, best rotation in baseball. It's only an argument with Seattle, but even then, it's not too much of an argument. So I will take the Philadelphia Phillies to win the World Series as of now, Tuesday, September 10th at 9:37 p.m. Eastern. And those are my opinions and picks for the remainder of the MLB season. I will continue to touch on MLB until we get to the World Series, and I can't wait to see how the teams progress over the weeks. I really do hope that the Yankees continue to hold the AL East lead, but I really don't think it'll happen. The Orioles are a better team, and I think they'll come out and win it eventually. But those have been my picks and opinions for this MLB season. Again, I really appreciate all the support I've gotten so far. Passing 300 streams is a huge milestone. Hopefully, we can pass 400 soon enough. Please continue sharing it if you enjoy it. Leave a great review. It really means the world to me seeing you guys enjoy it. Apple reviews, I've already gotten so many, kind comments, and I'm loving it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, NFL recap Tuesday morning and the regular episode on Wednesday morning. Again, thank you guys for listening and have a great rest of your day, and let's go Yankees.